Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
And welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbors we get to chat with is Olivia Hoblett, the founder of Trinity Love Hoblett Foundation, along with Dr. Hanel from Baptist Health. Thank y'all so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Definitely.
Thank you, Colby, for allowing us the opportunity to educate. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And Olivia, I just want to jump right into it. Give us a rundown on what Trinity Love Hoblett Foundation is all about.
Yes. So we established the Trinity Love Hoblett Foundation in 2016. Close to about a year after Trinity passed away from brain aneurysm. June 30th of 2015, 2 days, actually 2 days before that, she had a ruptured brain aneurysm, and that was 2 days prior to her pre-op. And so she was about 14 years old, and that's when, you know, we lost her in June 30th. And so, you know, one of the things is, Trinity is just like full of love, right? She always wants everyone to feel better, especially when we're at the hospital and we're waiting at Wilson's Children's Hospital lobby. And she would always put her hands together and close her eyes. And I would ask her, I said, Trinity, what are you doing? And she says, Mom, I'm praying for everyone to feel better, because, you know, you could see a lot of children around crying. They're not feeling well. And so, you know, my husband and I, and, you know, great friends of ours that, you know, their kids went to school with Trinity, all got together and saying, we need to establish a foundation in Trinity's name, because that's what Trinity wants, right? Trinity would want people to be better. And so we established it, and it's now coming up to 6 years, and it's been so successful. And the foundation's mission is, we support and fund neurological research, training, and treatments for brain aneurysm, stroke, and other cerebrovascular conditions. And Dr. Ricardo Hanel, he is with the Baptist Health Neurological Institute. He's been so amazing, and he's also actually Trinity's doctor. So he's been working with us with the education side, the research as well.
Well, first of all, Olivia, my condolences for Trinity, but I think it's so beautiful what you've been able to create out of a loss.
Thank you. It wasn't easy, and I think it's, you know, my husband and I met with Dr. Hanel and Dr. Aldana, and kind of presented the idea. And, you know, it wasn't an easy decision, because, you know, Trinity is no longer here with us. But we knew that to continue her legacy, it's something that she would want us to do. And so now we're helping more people out there, educating them about brain aneurysm, and Dr. Hanel doing his side by training, you know, medical doctors who's just starting in their field, and also doing training all over the world of what brain aneurysm is, mm-hmm. and all this new technologies that's coming out.
And Dr. Hanel, can you share with us what exactly is a brain aneurysm?
Hey, to think about as our blood vessels as a pipe, rubber pipe. So an aneurysm is a stretch on this pipe, and it much more common occurs when you have a fork on the road, or the pipe is splitting two different directions. So there's a weak spot right there. So there's a bulge that forms, or a blister, mm-hmm. For to get people, to our people listening to us today, to imagine. And that blister is thinner rubber, so thinner wall, way more prone for bleeding, and that's where the risk of an aneurysm comes. It becomes a weak spot on the system that is more prone for bursting. And if, God forbid, this aneurysm burst in your head, What unfortunately happened to Trinity is what happened to 40% of people when they have a bursting brain aneurysm. They don't survive that because the damage caused by the aneurysm itself is unbearable and take away 40%. So 4 out of 10 people, when they bleed from an aneurysm, they die. And another 4 out of 10 are disabled because of the bleeding. Only 20%, 2 out of 10, come back to normal life. So it's a pretty devastating disease if the rupture of the aneurysm occurs.
And what causes this in the first place for these aneurysms to happen, but then also for the bursting to happen?
Yeah, so an aneurysm comes from many different conditions. Some that we can prevent, like cigarettes, big and no, if you don't want to have a brain aneurysm. Brain aneurysms have everything to do with cigarettes. Not only cigarettes gives you aneurysms, they also make your aneurysm more prone for bleeding and more prone for coming back. So cigarettes, high blood pressure, those are things that you can prevent and you can treat. But there are conditions like Trinity. Trinity had a condition called primordial dwarfism that, again, nothing that she could do about that. It's a genetic situation that she was born with. Other conditions like polycystic kidney disease, fibromuscular dysplasia that you develop over time as a person, you cannot prevent. But it's very important to be aware of this, because knowing that you could be harboring a brain aneurysm and to get a brain aneurysm addressed before it bursts, that's I think is key in 2021. So family members need to know, if you're, I don't have anybody in my family, my risk is about 4%. But if you have a family member, so let's say your mom had an aneurysm, right there, you just got a 50% higher chance than the general population to have an aneurysm. And if you have two family members, now it doubles that person's odds of having a brain aneurysm. So all these facts that people need to be aware of, that's what is so nice what Olivia, Phil, and the foundation is doing. In the process of funding research and education, we're talking about this. And I think education awareness is the key because people need to know this runs in family. And again, there's very little done to educate people and to get people to be aware that this is preventable and this is treatable. And you got to know who is at risk.
So what are some of the ways we can reduce the risk or prevent brain aneurysms from happening?
Yeah, so I think cigarettes is number one. Mm-hmm. I think you got to quit smoking. And unfortunately, we're in a wave that vaping doesn't do anything bad. I think we've got to stop this. This is not real. This is totally misleading. Vaping can have nicotine. Nicotine is addictive. It's going to drive you to cigarettes. So I think cigarettes is a huge no-no. You got to take care of your blood pressure. Make sure you know your numbers. Your blood pressure needs to be under 120 over 80 or 130 over 80, depending on which guidelines you're following. So those are very two easy things to do to prevent brain aneurysm. But you got to know your history. You got to know what happened to grandma. Why did grandma die? What happened to grandpa? Know your family history. That will give you good hints if you carry those trends in your family.
And Dr. Hanel, I think just by you starting off and saying, hey, this is what it is, brings such a huge awareness. What were you going to share, Olivia?
And Colby, going back to Dr. Hanel also on the family history, it's, you know, one person that, you know, working on one of our projects for the new hotel that I'm building here, yesterday we were having a conversation and she noticed, like, I posted something on my LinkedIn about our upcoming gala in September, and she said, Olivia, I saw what you posted and I visited the Trinity Love Hoblet Foundation website and I didn't realize, and she said, my father had a ruptured brain aneurysm and my sister had a ruptured brain aneurysm at age 32. And I said, oh my God, I said, did you get tested. She's like, I did. It was a while back. And now I'm getting concerned. Like, should I go and, you know, get my my MRI again? And the doctor told me, you know, I could do it every 10 years. And I said, well, I said, how is your sister doing now? She said, my sister, she started feeling dizzy and she had some, you know, she would just like lay down and then it'll go away. And it happened for, you know, a certain period of time. And then apparently her aneurysm was leaking. And then one day she was at her, talking to her boss and she said, her sister said she started feeling dizzy. So she just lay down on the floor and finally, like, they had to rush her in the hospital. By the time she got there, they already was losing her and she already had a massive stroke. And so finally they were able to bring her back and she ended up to be in a nursing home because, you know, there's, because of the stroke and the damages that he has done. And then after a certain period of time, she lost her sister. So again, this is one of the things why it's so important for you to know your family history, just exactly what, you know, Dr. Hanel has said. And this conversation just occurred yesterday.
And like you said, well, your friend said her sister started not feeling well and feeling dizzy. So are there certain symptoms that we can watch out for or be aware of that are leading up to brain aneurysms and we can cut it off before something terrible like that happens?
No, you don't have symptoms that are dealing with develop that represent that you're developing an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that doesn't work like that. The symptoms that we tell people to watch for are symptoms related to an aneurysm rupturing or an expansion of the aneurysm. The aneurysm is getting bigger. Sometimes it can give the person symptom. We'll call that a sentinel headache just before it's going to go bleed. So we always tell people, don't take lightly if you're not a headache person. Not all of a sudden you have the worst headache of your life or a very bad headache. Don't take that lightly because, again, headache is a very common symptom, and about 90% of people during their lifetime are going to experience a headache. So very few human beings are going to go a whole life without a headache. So, but it's important to think about what headache you're talking about. Oh, exercise all morning, and now I have a slight headache. I took a Tylenol, it's better. That's very different than how I exercise all morning. All of a sudden, it felt like somebody hit with a brick on the back of my head. Again, if there is a strong headache that you never had before, you should seek medical care because that could be an aneurysm acting up. There are plenty of stories out there that people go and don't seek medical care, or people go and do seek medical care. And it can change day and night because, again, if you find an aneurysm before it bleeds, it's a totally different ball game compared to finding an aneurysm after it bleeds. So if you have headaches, if you're not a headache person, has one, that's one to think about. Another one is if you are a headache person, let's say I have migraine my whole life, and now all of a sudden there's a change on the flavor of the headache, like I explained to my patients. We call it a changing pattern of headache. That is very important. You've got to talk to your physician. You've got to seek care because that could mean that there's something going on, an aneurysm, a brain tumor, or something like that. So don't hesitate. You got a CAT scan. You got an MRI. These days is very easy. You just need to raise your hand and say, look, this is not, I never had a headache like this before.
Well, again, I have the privilege of chatting with Olivia Hoblett, the founder for Trinity Love Hoblett Foundation, along with Dr. Hanel from Baptist Health. And we've been able to just kind of cover the awareness of brain aneurysm reality. And a lot of this conversation has been eye-opening, especially for me. But Olivia, do you have any success stories with people or families that have come to you needing help?
Yes, actually, I would receive text messages. I would receive phone call because, you know, their friends or their brother actually is in the hospital because they had a ruptured aneurysm, you know, sharing the family history. And they wanted to be involved and how they can help to, you know, spread the awareness. And so I think that is just you know, so important. And people would call me and I tell them, it's like, you need to call your medical doctor and you need to talk to your doctor, right? So it's important, you know, we have to make sure that sometimes when people go to a doctor, they don't really tell everything. And so your doctor can't read your mind. So I would say is talk to your doctor and be open about it so they can help you better. And so that's why awareness is so important with us, and education and research. And that's why our foundation, we do the best we can and make sure that, you know, we hold our annual gala so we can go ahead and have some funding that we can provide towards, you know, our mission.
Yeah, you mentioned the gala. Can you give me more information on what exactly it is and how we can be a part of that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for asking. So, of course, because of the COVID-19 last year, we weren't able to hold our gala. But this year, we're hosting it on September 18th. And that's going to be at the Courtyard Amelia Island here in Florida. And we're so excited. So hopefully, you know, all goes well and we'll have some good attendance. And any money that we raise for that actually goes toward our mission. And we also give funding toward the Wolfson Children's Hospital and Baptist Neurological Institute. And this, you know, and that funding, anything that we donate over $25,000 get matched 100%. And so, again, that goes toward our mission. So that's September 18th, and it's going to be at the Courtyard Amelia Island, here in Amelia Island, Florida.
And do you have any other events coming up?
So right now, that's the only event we are holding. And because September is also the Brain Aneurysm Awareness Month, so for the whole month of September, we're working hard to, you know, spread the awareness. And but of course, it's something that we should be doing every day, right? Mm. So right now, we only have that one event. But I encourage, you know, the listeners, you know, we need as many help as we can get so we can continuously fulfill our mission. And so Dr. Hanel can continue to do, you know, his mission and training and research. So they can visit the trinityhoblet.org, and we are accepting donations, and any donation counts. Even if it's just $1, we are very appreciative for any donation that we can get.
And you're able to do so much for our community. What can we do for you? Do you accept volunteers? And tell me again where we can place donations. But what can we do as your neighbors for you?
We do. You know, we could use some volunteers for our annual gala, but also we could use some volunteers who've had this experience, that they could be able to share their story, that then we can share their story around, you know, around the nation. And that's our goal, is to get it out there around the nation. We are currently working on putting some filming together. And so we are looking for someone that's willing to, you know, kind of share their story, who's been through the same experience. And so then they can at least help spread that and, you know, help us spread the awareness. But also something that, you know, that could be very helpful is by listening here, go to our website and spread the word and help us spread the awareness.
Well, thank you both for everything you do. I mean, and you, Dr. Hanel, just for imparting so much knowledge on us during this conversation. I learned so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Colby, and let me know if I can help with anything else.
Definitely. And Olivia, thank you for being such a sweet neighbor in our neighborhood and for serving us so well.
And Colby, thank you so much also for covering this, because you're also helping us really to spread the awareness. And I also would like to, you know, say thank you to, you know, our board of directors and our advisory committee members, and our medical, you know, doctors who's there to help us with our mission. Without their hard work, we won't be where we are today. And are also to our supporters, So we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. My husband and I and our boys are very, very grateful.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and this is a show where we can just sit, chat with our neighbors, hear what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in the community. And today, I have a really special neighbor with me. I have Don Oxley, the ministry coordinator for Christian Surfers of Jacksonville. Don, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Colby. I'm stoked.
Now, Don, I know what Christian Surfers is because this is a big part of my own ministry, but can you kind of unravel what Christian Surfers is as a whole?
Christian Surfers is let me just start from the history, if I may. It started in 1976 in Australia. Brent Davis started a ministry very similar to the heart of all of us to reach the surf community, to bring them into an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and to disciple them into becoming that which God's called them to be. It moved to the United States in 1984. First chapter in the United States was in California. And then in 2002, we met with the then director, Chandler Brownlee, who thankfully our national office was 1 hour south of us in St. Augustine.
Very convenient.
Very convenient. So Chandler educated us. John Colbert and I had a heart for these surfers, man. We were reaching youth, a lot of youth at the time. Youth ministry was a big part of our life at that time. And so we were looking for that connection. And Chandler provided that. So Christian Surfers Jacksonville was birthed in 2002.
And you helped birth it.
John Colbert and I, we had other people who had the same heart. Basically, you had to have the same faith, belief in the Bible, the scriptures, our integrity was key. So the people that we brought on board to be the core leadership team had to have that same connection, had to have that heart for surfers and want to introduce them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So how do you do that? I get what Christian Surfers is now, but then how do you implement that in the water?
Well, we have several ways that we do that. Some of the things that we started with originally were campouts. We would invite people to come to a campout. It would be a surf-oriented campout where we just hung out, some acoustical guitar, sitting around the campfire. You know how we like to just tell lies and brag and tell jokes. And then, then go surfing. And there's something about having that connection. One thing about surfers is they respect the environment. They respect the creation that God has given us to be able to enjoy. And so we have that connection, and through that connection, we just build that bridge between the surf community and Jesus Christ by, just relational, being relational with them, just identifying with them. You hate to say this, but we're tribal. We speak a different language. Yeah. We see things differently than maybe some other cultures do, and the surf culture is very, very unique. And so through that, just paddling out with them, hanging with them, surfing with them, we build that bridge of trust from the beach to the community called the Body of Christ.
Whoa. And because I feel like the two words Christian surfers is such an oxymoron. You know, when you think of surfers, you think of deadbeats, people who smoke a lot of pot and don't really have a job. But you're saying, no, like this is who surfers can be.
Well, I probably shouldn't admit this on radio, but I was that guy, see? And so because I was that guy, I know what they're thinking. I know what they feel. I know their struggles. Mm. You know, one thing I've learned about surfers, Colby, is that surfers are confident. They're risk takers. They're independent. You know, they're assertive. They have all the qualities of leadership. Mm. You know, once you reach a surfer, they're kind of like the Apostle Peter. They're hard headed. They're kind of cocky. You know, they have to have these qualities to be able to do what they do on their own, because it's not a team sport. You know, it's them and the wave. And so, it's competing against that Mother Nature. But they have all these qualities that when you reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, they become movers and shakers. That's what I love about surfers.
And, Dunn, I love how you didn't try and change these people in the water, but you're using the attributes they already have and just kind of redirecting it.
Right on. Right on. Well, you know, like I say, we use the campouts, we use surf camps, we do movie nights. What surfer? I remember when I was a teenager going down to the Jacks Beach Women's Club, what the latest surf flick was with Jerry Lopez and some of these guys that were my surf idols. We love surf flicks. And so we use those surf movies that show, or they basically have pros that have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, being featured in those premieres. And then we've actually shown those films at like UNF in their auditoriums, and had these pros come and share their testimonies. So it's a real good engaging thing when you can take, a surfer who everybody, I hate to use the word idolize, but a lot of people do. They look up to them. They go, wow, dude, if I could just be like this, bro. It does. When they stand there and they say, hey, I love Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but they're stinking awesome in the water, it makes a difference, you know?
Yeah, because I think sometimes surfers perceive Christians as really dorky, weird people, and you're saying, no, like, this guy rips, and he loves Jesus.
Right on.
Don, when do these events happen, like the campouts and the movie nights and the get-togethers and the paddle outs? When does Christian Surfers do this?
We basically have a format. Every first Thursday of the month we meet. We'll have a flick going, a surf movie going. We meet at there at 3rd in Walnut, right across from Neptune Baptist Church, which I'd like to talk about that at some point in time and how we partner with people. But anyhow, we meet there first Thursday at 6:30, and the purpose of that is mostly discipleship on that particular meeting. It's all about just coming together, connecting in a loose atmosphere. You can invite friends, people that you're trying to reach, and we sit around, we just enjoy conversation, and then we'll have what I call like a level one. It's where we just basically have a short testimony or devotional that is poignant to whatever we're dealing with in our personal lives, and then kind of talk about it. We basically use that as a bridge building opportunity. Then the other things that we like to do, like I mentioned, the surf camp, it's teaching other surfers how to serve. That's probably one of the biggest lessons that I feel like Jesus Christ taught me in reading the scriptures, and that's what he taught his disciples when he washed their feet, when he talked about different things. Serve. Be a servant. Don't try to be over people. Serve people. So we try to teach them to do that. And then just hanging out like at bonfires. I remember sharing a testimony at our bonfire in February. And through that, someone came forward to me and has now become a part of our, not only Christian Surfers, but has come into our church services because they needed that relational, hey, you identify with the pains and the hurts that I'm going through. So that was important as well. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I could go on and on, girl.
I know. Don, you hit it on so many areas, but we kind of mulled over it, but I want to get back to that now. You said where we meet is right across the street from Neptune Baptist, and Christian Surfers partners with them. What's it look like to be a partner with CS?
We want to make sure that we're connected to churches. We have various churches. We have Neptune Baptist Church. We have 1122. We have Mars Hill Church. We have several churches involved in partnering with us. We think that's so important because we want to connect surfers as we teach them, disciple them, that they have to belong to a community, a body of Christ. And that's important. So Neptune Baptist Church, Pastor Tom has been tremendous allowing us to use his facilities and be a part of that. Nels Guyland, he is an amazing man who's a servant of Christ who helps us in that particular area as well. So having those sponsorships and they've got your back. It's nice knowing that you've got somebody that's got your back and believes in who you are. So that's one of the things. We use that. We actually started on Hexer Drive. I'm a Jetty Rat.
What's that mean?
Jetty Rat is a North Jetty guy. That's called Huguenot now. But I'm a Jetty Rat. That's where I cut my teeth on surfing. That's where I learned. That's where I'm considered a legend.
Okay.
When you graduate from a shortboard to a longboard, you're a legend now. The long and the short of it is that's where we started, and that's where we cut our teeth, most of the core leadership. But God led us to Neptune strictly because the surf community is so much larger there, and the impact that we're able to make there is tremendous. I'll let you ask another question before I go on.
No, Don, I think it's really cool that you're connected with other churches and you're telling the members of Christian Surfers, hey, we're not an alternative to church. Like, you can come get fellowship here and you can get fed here, but this isn't your church.
No, that's correct. Christian Surfers is not a church. And we partner with so many other ministries. If you can give me a minute, we've partnered with Christy Overton Johnson, who has a ministry called In His Wakes. It's water skiing. You know, the waves aren't always good, kind of like today. So it's good to partner with somebody. Sean Murray, he's a professional wakeboarder who knows Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. A lot of my guys love wake surfing. My son's got the boat for it, and we use that for God's glory. You know, there's snowboarders and skiers for Christ that we've connected with. We've done skating contests. We've done surf premieres. You know, we partnered with Life Rolls On, you know, so the handicapped get to experience the stoke of just being in the water on a surfboard. We push them into a wave, and the stoke is amazing to them. We serve. We're all about serving East Coast Surf Association, the ESA. We serve Safe Harbor Boys Home. We serve various community-oriented stuff just because we want to make an impact in the surf community.
Don, it's so cool kind of how this conversation has transformed. At the beginning, you were talking about surfers being selfish. I mean, surfing can be as selfish of a sport as you want it to. And honestly, that's why a lot of people get into it. But you're saying, hey, it can be selfish, but like, we also need to serve the community that lets us surf their breaks.
Right on. That's exactly right. We, you know, we've learned, those of us who know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you know, when you serve someone, for instance, it's not in your DNA as a surfer to give up a good wave. It's just not. And so when you see an opportunity to allow someone you're trying to reach for Christ to take the better position and take off in a way that you know you would you would want that picture of you surfing on that particular wave, that means something. It opens up a door of communication, an opportunity to share with an individual because you've served them. As stupid as that may sound, you're giving of yourself so that someone else can get the stoke. And that's what it's all about.
Well, again, I get the privilege of sitting, chatting with a really dear neighbor to me, Don Oxley, the ministry coordinator for Christian Surfers of Jacksonville. And Don, you've said it several times throughout this chat, but in your own words, can you kind of explain what the stoke is or what stoked means?
The stoke is experiencing something that you just get the chill. You get this you want to scream. We have when we catch an awesome wave, or we're just with friends having a good time, as we call it, japping each other. In other words, taking off on them and hitting their board and pushing them off, just having fun. The stoke of being in a relational experience with the environment and with friends and people that love the same thing you do. The stoke is. It's just enjoying the creation that God's provided for us in such a beautiful way. with friends and neighbors and people that also enjoy that same stove. You can get that in golf, hitting a hole in one. You can get that in baseball, hitting a home run. It's that scope of, wow, awesome, this is amazing, if that makes any sense.
Don, I don't think I could have explained it any better. And then I also kind of want to hit on surf lessons. You mentioned it because I have a lot of people asking me, hey, how can I still be a part of Christian Surfers even though I don't surf? Or, Colby, can you teach me how to surf? What does CS do when it comes to surf lessons?
You know, that's probably one of the greatest things that we try to educate people about, is that there's more to the surf community and being a part of Christian Surfers than just being on a surfboard. You may have a gift of administration, the gift of servanthood. You may be a photographer. You may be someone who just likes to serve people food. You may be someone who just likes to do janitorial stuff, somebody from behind, that's behind the scenes. And you can serve us, serve others in all those different capacities without ever being on a surfboard. So the surf camps are designed to reach groms, grom meaning young children, teaching them to respect, to enjoy the environment that God has created for us, but also introduce them to the Creator so that they know who created this awesome opportunity called surfing. And so you can be a part of that in the biblical sense, teaching and mentoring. There's so many opportunities involved in Christian Surfers rather than just surfing.
I love how you said that, because obviously when you hear Christian Surfers, it's like, man, I have to surf to be a part of that. And that's not the case at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm. Matter of fact, the two men that helped me cook for every one of our surf camps, they wouldn't get on a surfboard if it was the last thing they did. But they enjoy being a part of helping us serve the surf community.
And they make some of the best burgers I've had.
Amen, girl.
Don, I know that Christian Surfers does some mission trips because, like you said, sometimes we don't have waves. And even when we do have waves, they're not incredible.
You're exactly right. We live on the East Coast. But you know what's so funny about that? And I'll get on your question. Most pro surfers who win titles, guess where they come from? Florida. Isn't
Seriously?
That amazing?
Why?
We probably got the waves in the world. But then, you know, you've got the Hobgoods. And who's the king of surfing? I mean, they all come from, most of the awesome ones either come from Australia or it's funny, they'll come from Florida. So, but anyhow, to answer your question, missions trips, of course, COVID-19 has kind of changed some things of 2020. But normally we go to California, called the Boardroom. Gives a lot of the East Coast surfing community an opportunity to go serve. What the Boardroom is, it is shapers. I mean, world-renowned shapers from all over the world come to the Boardroom, and they create new designs. They talk about new designs. They even have what they call shape-offs, where they basically have a competition.
Oh, wow.
And what we do is we set up and tear down for them, serve them. But in the interim, we go surfing. So we get to surf California waves. It's like a missions trip. In September and January, we go to Surf Expo there again to basically just serve. But in February, this coming year, 2021, in February, we will be going back to the Dominican Republic. DR seems to be a good place for us. We've got churches over there that we help. Any missions trip is about missions first, surfing second. But we do surf. So there's awesome waves in the DR, so we go to the Dominican Republic in February. Next year, it got canceled this year, but next year we'll also be a part of the Tokyo Olympics. The Christian Surfers will be going to Japan, believe it or not. Yes, and it's really awesome to be able to go over there, serve in the Olympics, because surfing is now part of the Summer Olympics. So in that capacity, we've basically got a finger in just about everything. If there's a surfable coast, Christian Surfers is there. And so our purpose is to reach the CERC community all over the world.
Yeah, Don, that's one thing I wanted to kind of hit on. You said Christian Surfers started back in 84 in Australia, and then it came then to California, and we got it here in Jackson, St. Augustine. Now, is it all over the world? Like, is it in other states and in other countries, or just here in Australia?
I wish I had the list in front of me, but yes, France. Our national, the international conference was in France last year. Every 2 years, they do an international conference, and it'll be in a different nation. It's been in Hawaii. It's been all over the world. And the purpose of that is so that we connect with people, surfers, all over the world. We even have a ministry called Surf the Nations. Surf the Nations, the reason why it's not called Christian Surfers, but it's called Surf the Nations, is because it goes into a window of where Christians are not welcome.
The 1040 so, window.
Surfers, there you go. Thank you for that.
No, that's right.
Surfers are welcome. They just figure they're potheads. You know what I mean? They're just there to party and surf. But we have this ministry that goes into that 1040 window. And they don't look at us, but just surfers. And we take in Bibles, and we share the gospel message with those who need to hear the gospel. So Christian Surfers is huge. It is huge.
Truly all over the world.
All over the world.
Well, Don, I can only estimate kind of like how much it costs to put on these surf camps and give out food to people and all these things. So if we're hearing this and we're really touched, what does it look like and how can we financially support Christian Surfers, or not even financially, but just in a servanthood way?
Well, there's three ways you can help Christian Surfers, Jack's especially. One, please pray for us. You know, we live in a very, very violent, difficult world today. And so by praying for us, praying that the Holy Spirit will protect us, give us wisdom, help us to deal with what we deal with, is paramount. Through prayer, many things happen. Second way is get involved. Come get involved. Be a part of what God's doing in the surf community. That would be amazing. You know, time is very, very special. It's hard to give of your time, but we would appreciate that. Now, obviously, a monetary gift. You know, this goes with anybody that's been involved in ministries, a business, or even break it down to your own individual family. It takes money to do things, and it's the same with us. It takes dollars to reach these communities. And so you could help us tremendously. You can write a check to Christian Surfers Jack or get with me. You can contact me and ask me how to do that. But the bottom line is it does take funds to make things happen. Nobody a part of the Christian Surfers Jack team, leadership team, is a paid employee. We all serve. We all donate our own dollars. But we really appreciate those who have the same heart as we do. Even if you don't care for surfers, but you care for the lost, you want to see people come to know Christ. That's how you can help us.
I love how you kind of close that, Don. It's not about the surfers, but it's truly about the lost. And I definitely want to give out your contact info. So, Don, can you tell us how we can get a hold of you personally and then how we can get a hold of Christian Surfers Jacksonville? If there's like a website or a Facebook page or Instagram.
You can contact us through ChristianSurfersJacks.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. And through that, you can share with us what you would like to do in helping us, or you can contact me, Don Oxley, at 904-302-2820, and I can guide you in that way as well. We would appreciate any feedback. Just real quick, just know that our statement of faith is that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the second coming. We believe that salvation is through the blood of Jesus on the cross and faith in him and that. And we believe in the church, the local church. And our commission is Matthew 28:19-20.
Don, thank you so much for being such a sweet, sweet neighbor to the Beaches community. It wouldn't be like this without you. So thank you so much, Don.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Colby.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio.